This episode is brought to you in part by Litvin School of Mission, Ministry, and Leadership at Wheaton College. Our graduate programs in evangelism, ministry, and leadership enrich your mind, spirit, vocation, and character to refine what's already within you. Learn more at wheaton.edu/CT.
You're listening to episode 182.
Mom. Hello? Mom. Mom. Mom.
Of the In-Between podcast, where you'll discover the tools to build a marriage and family that you love. My name is Daniel Im.
And I'm Christina Im.
Well, parenting is often hailed as one of the most rewarding and demanding roles that we take on.
Can I hear an amen?
Yeah. The responsibility is immense. And the need to be present is constant. So what happens when parents go from being on top of things to being distracted and on their phone maybe a little too often?
Mm-hmm. Well, the term for this phenomenon is called distracted parenting. Maybe you haven't heard this before, but you're like, maybe this is me. Well, distracted parenting refers to when parents are not fully present or engaged with their children due to various distractions, often involving the use of smartphones. In this scenario, parents may be physically present with their children, but their attention is divided between their devices and their parenting responsibilities. You may have not heard this term before, but you've likely seen it in action. Here are some examples of distracted parenting. An entire family on their phones at a restaurant, not even making eye contact.
Or you're at a playground and a child is misbehaving and would likely be corrected, but their parent is texting.
Mm-hmm. Or at an event and one kid is running out of the door with no adult present and you think, where is the adult? And then you look over and you realize, oh, the adult is not paying attention. They're on their phone. Well, these situations have become all too common and they've caught the attention of pediatricians. The American Pediatrics Association recently highlighted a concerning trend, an increase in severe playground injuries. Now, why would that be? Well, parents were observed being more engrossed in their phones and in watching out for their kids. And the dangers are not just physical. Distracted parents unknowingly give their children the perfect opportunity to take risks, risking emotional harm as well. In fact, over 200,000 children under 14 are treated in emergency rooms for playground-related injuries each year. And these risks are exacerbated when parents are preoccupied.
That's amazing that there's actually research done on that.
Yeah.
Because anecdotally, you're like, yeah, I wonder if there are more. And there are actually more.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Over 200,000 children under 14. That's crazy.
That's a lot, right?
That is a lot. Now, not only is there a potential for physical harm when distracted parenting happens, it can also be emotionally damaging if a child or teen feels that their parent is too busy to be attentive or connected to them at the moment. Emotionally, children may feel neglected, unimportant, or frustrated when their parents are not fully engaged with them. Children may even engage in risky behavior just to attract the attention of distracted parents. And distracted parents are not as responsive to their kids or as sensitive to their needs.
Mm-hmm. Now, I remember that there was this experiment done where they filmed, this is, I think, in the 70s when they were learning about attachment and what it means for children to be well attached to their parents. And so they had this experiment where it was the mom and the child and they were interacting. The child was not able to speak, but they were like giving eye contact, smiling, passing the toy back and forth. And so the mom was being really receptive, was passing the toy back, smiling, laughing, asking questions, all of this. And then they got the cue from the researcher to just stop making eye contact, go literally still faced. So there's no reaction whatsoever. And at first, the child is kind of looking and looking at their mom and just trying to be like, rah, 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 and like giving toys and then starting to stroke the mom's face, like even pull their hair, and to the point where it became so distressing for the child. I think it was about 5 minutes where the mom wasn't being responsible that they would start to scream or cry. And later on, even realizing the parent isn't comforting them, then they would just go quiet. And after the experiment, the mom would be able to kind of go back and repair and cuddle and like kiss the child and stuff like that. So even within like 5-10 minutes, that child, the who couldn't speak, was like protesting, like, why aren't you paying attention to me? It was really sad.
Yeah.
It was really, really sad, actually, just to watch. It was kind of heartbreaking, thinking, huh, well, this was only 5-10 minutes, but if you always receive that from your parents?
Yeah. You know, the fact of the matter is that there are always going to be distractions in our lives,
mm-hmm.
right? We're all going to have parenting fail moments at some point, but those should be our moments that causes changes in our behavior. We can all learn to become less distracted and more active in the lives of our families. For example, we can be better about putting the phone down, better about closing the laptops, turning off Netflix, and doing what you need to do in order to engage your children in conversation. Doing that while making eye contact, playing together, looking at one another, and not being distracted by devices, we can all be better at that, right? So that's why on this week's episode, we want to help you learn how to turn toward your child to nurture the intimacy between y'all.
Mm-hmm. Now, intimacy is the glue that holds families together. It's what connects us over the years and across the miles. It's what gets us through the hard times and what makes the good times even better. Intimacy is hard to define, but we all know when we're feeling it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's a comfortable shared silence with a spouse or finding comfort in a friend's embrace, intimacy is that feeling of connection that warms our hearts. According to the Gottman Institute, BIDs are the subtle expressions or gestures individuals make to connect with others in their relationships. These BIDs can be verbal, nonverbal, or even actions, and they serve as attempts to establish communication, closeness, and emotional connection. BIDs are considered crucial in understanding and fostering positive relationships. In the context of relationships, a BID is like an invitation where one person seeks attention, affection, or interaction from one another. The way these BIDs are received and responded to plays a significant role in the quality and strength of the relationship. The Gottman Institute refers to this concept as BIDs for attention.
Yeah, so in happy relationships, whether between spouses, parents and children, friends or coworkers, BIDs are made and responded to in a positive, even if small, way. It almost doesn't matter what the BID is about. The process of reaching out and receiving a response builds the relationship. It also increases the level of trust so that we're more likely to reach out to that person again, and then the relationship and the content of that BID deepens. So if someone begins a conversation with, "I'm worried about my job," and receives an empathetic response, they're likely going to elaborate and ask their spouse possibly for support. Their trust in reaching out is rewarded with caring. And then they'll both end up feeling closer because of that interaction.
Mm-hmm. Or imagine your child saying, "Oh, I'm really stressed about a test," and you say nothing, or you're busy cooking or listening to a podcast or something and mm-hmm. you miss it. Then they may not say that again. They may just be like, "Well, I guess my parents don't care. I'm just going to try my best and see what happens," and maybe feel alone in that.
Mm.
So, like in that example, if a comment is ignored or greeted with anything that doesn't feel empathetic, these children or these other people that are making bids for us to respond to will unlikely make themselves vulnerable, and the relationship loses a chance to deepen. In fact, they're hurt, so a little wall gets built, and they may be less likely to make bids like that in the future and continue to build and put bricks on that wall.
Mm-hmm.
Well, our relationship with our child is built on how we respond to their bids. The same process is enacted with our children in hundreds of daily interactions we have with them. Like, for example, if you ask your middle schooler about the upcoming school dance and receive an engaged response, you might venture further and ask whether they're nervous or excited to take the conversation to a deeper level. If, on the other hand, their response is one filled with attitude, you might back off, be like, "Whoa, not in good mood."
Mm-hmm. And of course, children often test us by saying something negative to see if we will empathize.
Hmm.
If we respond to their bids with understanding, even though they're expressing negativity, then they'll trust that we can handle their authentic feelings, and the result is that they'll open up more. But if we ignore, deny their feelings, correct them, or judge them, they'll likely shut down. And if this interaction is repeated often, then kids will get in the habit of holding their feelings inside. And not only do they not reach out to us and will not reach out to us, but they will probably more likely frequently reject our bids to connect with them because they've deemed it unsafe or they just don't think we actually care. So how, right? How can we use bids to nurture the intimacy with our children?
The wait is over. Find out what happens in the thrilling conclusion of the 12th Dead Sea Squirrels book, Babbleland Breakout. Hi, I'm Mike Naraki, co-creator of VeggieTales, voice of Larry the Cucumber, and author of The Dead Sea Squirrels. Get ready for more daring rescues and hilarious jokes as Merle and Pearl and their animal friends embark on a ridiculous mission to bust the kidnapped Gomez family out of Babbleland, a Bible-themed amusement park with talking animals. Young readers will love the nutty misadventures of 10-year-old Michael and his friends and will learn all about biblical life lessons such as forgiveness and friendship. Read all 12 Dead Sea Squirrels books, available wherever books are sold.
Well, number one, we can notice when our children makes bids to us. The inconvenient thing about a bid from your child is that they initiate whenever they want to, and you can count on being busy doing something else, right? It takes real self-discipline to tear yourself from your screen to answer a child's question, but how you respond to their bids is crucial in building closeness. If you don't give them your full attention, you'll have not really responded or worse, turned away from their bid. Later, when you try to get your child to tell you about what happened at school today, that's your bid. And by then, they've probably shut down because you didn't respond to their initial bid.
Mm-hmm. Now, guilty.
Pardon?
Guilty.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. So guilty.
Yeah.
Well, to support yourself in being present and available, make it a practice to turn off your screens when you're with your child. I've tried to do the whole hold my phone in my hand while I talk to them, but I find that I want to get through the conversation faster so I can get back to what I'm doing on my phone. I've had to consciously put down my phone away from me and make sure the screen is at the bottom so that I won't see it light up during our chat.
Yeah. The second way to use bids to nurture the intimacy with your kids is to train yourself to respond with empathy, no matter what the comment is. So if your daughter climbs into the car after school and greets you with a negative comment like, "Oh, Mom, you know I hate that music. Can't we listen to mine? Why do you always listen to Shania Twain? I want to listen to Taylor Swift." Or, "Mom, I've had a terrible day and it's all your fault because you..." Well, then that's a setup for an argument, right? But it's also a bid. It's an argument. It's a setup for an argument, but it's also a bid. She's asking if you will commiserate with her, if you care about what matters to her, if you'll listen to her problems so that she can process her feelings, and if you'll help her make things better. Now, you're only human, right? So naturally, you may feel like snapping at her or telling her, "Hey, that's not the way you talk to me." But if you can take a deep breath, respond with empathy, then you might be finding yourself being able to turn the entire situation around. So you might end up saying, "Okay, really? You don't like Shania Twain? You don't like Celine Dion? Okay, I'll turn this off, and we can talk while we drive about what music to play so we can find something we both like." Or, "Wow, you sound like you had a really terrible day. Can you tell me about it?" Now, later, of course, you can ask if she really thinks her terrible day was your fault. You don't need to start there. You can get there later. You can also discuss how it can feel confusing to hear that something's your fault, or how it feels to be blamed for something you aren't aware of, how that makes you feel, how that makes them feel. So talking more about the situation can help you understand where they're coming from, and that can nurture your relationship together.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Ooh, take that deep breath, hey?
Yes. Yeah. Reset.
Exactly. Like, okay, I need to be the self-regulated parent here so I can help my child self-regulate. Mm-hmm. Well, the third way that we can grow the intimacy with our child through responding to their bids is if you don't get the response you want when you reach out, step back and watch how you initiate. Like, for example, are you inviting a positive response? Are you asking them to tell you more about how they feel or what they're going through? If what you want is connection, don't start with correction.
Whoa. Okay, you guys say that again.
If you want connection, don't start with correction like you should have. Why didn't you? All of those things.
Yeah.
Always connect before you correct. Remember the Gottman Institute's advice for couples. Understanding must precede advice. It is the exact same for the parent and child relationship. By seeking to understand why your child feels the way they do, you can learn a lot about them. By accepting their emotions and striving to learn more about why they feel the way they do, you build a bridge to greater connection.
Mm-hmm.
Saying things like, you're making a big deal out of that, stop it, or calm down, you're not thinking clearly, are rarely effective. These statements only succeed in diminishing your child and trivializing their emotional experience. Instead, try, please help me understand what has you so upset. This approach provides an opportunity for your child to process what they feel and for you to more deeply understand where your child is coming from and who they are as a person. Emotions are opportunities for intimacy. They can grow the intimacy between y'all.
Hmm.
They are a gateway to building emotional connection and trust. Trying to understand your child's feelings is trying to connect, and advice and problem solving, while those are important, they can come later.
Yeah, I love that. Well, let's move to the fourth way that we can use bids to nurture intimacy with our children. If you make a bid and are greeted with something hurtful, like contempt, sarcasm, or a blank stare, try not to respond with anger. Instead, show your vulnerability and hurt. Let them know how you feel hurt. Turn away before you give in to the Let them know how you feel hurt. And then turn away before you give in to the temptation to yell or lash out. Your child will likely feel bad about hurting you, especially since you haven't escalated drama by attacking back. Now later, when you aren't feeling hurt and angry, you can tell them how it made you feel to get that response. Try to talk only about your feelings, not about them being wrong. And then invite them to share any resentments that were driving their hurtful response to you. Sort of like this. Hey, so when you said that I always take your brother's side, I felt hurt because I try to always be fair, and your voice sounded so angry. But it sounds like you really think I'm being unfair. That must hurt you. Can you tell me about why you feel that way?
Wow.
So you're acknowledging that you're hurt, your humanity, sharing where you're coming from, but
and
then
growing empathy for them too.
Yeah. And then you're opening up the door, right? Mm-hmm. You're opening up the door and then not just saying, yeah, this is it. But hey, okay, tell me more about why you feel that way.
Yep. Curiosity, connection.
Mm.
Yep. I love it. Well, the last way to grow intimacy between our children and us through bids is make time for intimate interactions in your schedule. You know, often we go whole days or even weeks just moving our kids through this activity to this part, to this play, to this basketball game, et cetera, without taking time to really connect. And most parents can imagine where would they even find time to connect? Well, we want to encourage you to try to look for opportunities for intimacy that are already in your schedule, where you can slow down to create an opportunity for closeness. Maybe that's when you help your daughter with her hair in the morning and make sure to give her a big hug and kiss. Or when you're in the car with your son in the afternoon listening to music you both like. Or at bedtime when you lie with your child for 10 minutes. We can focus on creating undistracted time in order to fully engage with the people that we interact with on a daily basis. Try setting aside an hour at home with your kids where no phones or screens are allowed and do something fun with them. You can even start today with being like, hey, today we're not going to have screens at the dinner table. Instead, we're going to play a game or we're going to, can you tell me the high and low of your day today?
Yeah, that's right.
So whenever we are eating together, our phones are always in the other room. The only exception to that is if we're playing a game together on our screen, like at a restaurant during a meal out, like heads up or headsbands. Those are really fun where you have that word on your screen and it's held up to someone's forehead and then everyone else is trying to help you guess that word without saying it. We continue this practice when we're out with others too, not just our family. We won't have our screens at the table to communicate to the other person that we are with you, that you have my full attention. We want to model to our kids what it looks like to be fully engaged while we are with others. So even this week, try putting your phone away more often when you're engaged in conversation with others. Your children, teens, friends, and other family members will notice when you make the effort to give them your attention on a regular basis.
So we hope today's episode gave you maybe one or two tips or one or two ideas to becoming a more attentive parenting. I hope this was helpful. You've probably heard us talk a lot about using BIDs in our marriages. I hope this episode has been helpful to help you imagine how you could use that toward your kids and how you could use BIDs, that idea of BIDs, to nurture the intimacy with your children. So number one, notice your child's BIDs to you. Number two, train yourself to respond with empathy no matter what the comment is. Number three, if you don't get the response you want when you reach out, step back and watch how you initiate. Number four, if you make a bid and are greeted with something hurtful, like contempt, sarcasm, or a blank stare, try not to respond with anger. Instead, show your vulnerability. Show that you are hurt. And number five, make time. Make time for intimate interactions in your schedule. Now, if you want to review what we talked about on today's episode and even find discussion questions to talk with your spouse about to see how you can do this together with your kids and in your family, then we want to encourage you to go to our show notes, inbetween.org/episode182. In fact, you can text that link to your spouse or to a friend to share this episode with them, or you can hit the share button on your favorite podcasting app to do that as well. Well, thanks again for listening in. And we'll catch you next time.